When a man is not right with God, he cannot be right with himself or his woman. The Adam that accused and exposed his woman was a fractured man. A broken man makes it his full-time occupation to break his woman. A man has to be whole to lead a woman. See, Adam was so complete in the beginning that he was enough to produce his woman. God created Adam from the dust of the earth, breathed into him and all of that, and he became a living soul. But Adam was so complete, so whole of a man, that when God got ready for his woman, God reached into Adam and pulled out of him a whole woman. So a man has to be whole, because a whole man gives life to his woman. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians 5, and 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for. Now, letter B, letter A was the brokenness. Why does the man break his own rib, break his woman? The brokenness and the insecurity of the man would be letter A. Letter B, the nature of dominion in the woman after the fall creates tension. Now, let's unpack that. A broken man breaks his woman. Letter B, where does this tension come from? The nature of dominion in the woman after the fall feeds into the tension between man and woman. See, prior to the fall, there was no mention. Listen to this very carefully. Prior to Adam disobeying and there being a spiritual falling away, there was no mention about anybody being in charge. When you read Genesis, before they fell in sin, before Adam sinned, there was no mention about anybody being in charge. They were viewed as co-equals in dominion. In fact, God gave both of them as a couple, God gave them dominion. God made his agreement with Adam, but he assigned each of them to dominion, both of them. If you look in Genesis 1, 26 through 28, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and image of God created he him. Male and female created he them, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea. He's giving dominion to them and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So the original order was co-dominion, male and female, co-dominion, male and female. God never instructed Adam to have dominion over Eve, or Eve to have dominion over Adam, because dominion was understood to be a joint venture. There's no idea of one having authority over another. Watch this. Until after Adam disobeyed. Adam having authority over Eve, watch this, was not natural. It was a punishment for Eve's part in the fall. Now stay with me right here. In Genesis 3:16, it says, God is handing out these punishments for their disobedience. And he says unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. There was no mention of no ruling or having authority over until after the fall. And now God is handing out punishments. And his punishment to Eve was that He's going to rule over you. Why was this a punishment? It was a punishment because it was not God's original intent for Adam to rule over Eve. So God says, I'm going to punish you by giving Adam authority over you and assigning him the responsibility to rule over you. So God introduced the man's rulership over the woman as a punishment for her part in Adam's disobedience. I hope you're seeing that. I'm trying to take my time. Now, stay with me. This punishment, God says, okay, your punishment, Eve, is that I created you to be in co-dominion, but now because you brought him and you encouraged him to do all of this stuff and he was crazy enough to do it, your part in this punishment is that he's going to rule over you now. And Adam, your part, your punishment is that everything you get now, you're going to have to work hard for it. You're going to have to sweat. You're going to have to get calluses. You're going to have to work hard for it. But watch this. This punishment that God put upon Eve, that Adam will now rule over you. Listen to this very carefully. This is going to be a revelation for some of you. Did not eliminate Eve's innate nature of dominion. The only way, in other words, God says, okay, I'm punishing you in this way. Adam's going to rule over you. But because God assigned Adam or assigned that punishment to Eve, it did not eliminate Eve's base nature of dominion. She still has a mind to what? Rule and to dominate. But her punishment is that Adam is going to rule over you. The only way for Adam to rule, watch this. Now, Adam is in a bit of a quandary here, because the only way for Adam to rule this queen conscious woman, the only way for Adam to rule her with his, you know, limited understanding at the time, lack of revelation, called for force to break her will. Not that Adam specifically did that, but generations of men that followed after Adam had this same assignment to rule these, you know, dominators. And the only way to facilitate that with an unenlightened mind in a man is to, I got to break her. Because she still has what? The same spirit of dominion. She doesn't have the spirit to cower down. She doesn't have the spirit to play second fiddle. She doesn't have the spirit to be told what to do. She doesn't have that. But yet that's the punishment that God has put upon her life. So for the man to rule over the woman, he has to, watch this, he has to break her like a lion tamer breaks the spirit of the lion, or like the cowboy breaks the spirit of the stallion. He has to break her. So this is where man begins to, you know, crude, unenlightened men began to develop this system of what? Breaking the women in their lives, breaking them, because the woman possessed the same spirit of dominion as he. It would be the same thing. Okay, here's a visual for you. It would be like if I brought a lion out of Africa and dropped him off at your house, or dropped her off at your house, and say, you got to rule over this lion. Can you imagine what a situation you would be in up in that house trying to tame that lion? Because when the nature of that lion is to dominate, can you imagine? Well, that's the same thing man has been dealing with in terms of trying to rule the woman. Is that it's a curse, it's a punishment rather, but it goes against the nature that God put in the woman. Now, when you look at the latter part of the text, it says the woman's desire in Genesis 3:16 says, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. The latter part says that the woman's desire shall be to her husband, but he shall rule. In the English Standard Version, it puts it this way. Genesis 3:16 says, your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you. Good luck, you know, good luck. And men have been trying to rule the woman for generations. Now, the spirit of dominion within the woman always makes her contrary to the man that would try to rule her. The unenlightened man, pay close attention here, the unenlightened man enforces through force rather than honor. See, the unenlightened man, the man that does not have a revelation of how this works, seeks to force his woman and seeks to enforce that force through breaking her, psychological games, physical abuse, emotional abuse, the list goes on. When he's enlightened, he begins to understand that it's not force or enforcing force or breaking the woman that is required, it is honor. The thing that man is seeking to do with the woman is to dominate her. Mm-mm. The reality is that she must not be dominated, she must be led. And the only way to lead her is for her to submit. If I bring a lion out of Africa, you can't dominate that lion. You have to find some kind of way to lead that lion. And that lion has to what? Submit. If that lion chooses not to be led, that lion is not going to be led. In fact, the lion might be fed you. The only way for a man to lead his woman is for her to submit. Now watch this. She will not freely submit without honor. So the unenlightened man thinks that I got to break her, I got to break her, I got to break her, which makes him less than a man. The enlightened man who has a revelation of this thing understands I don't have to break her, I have to lead her. And the only way I can lead her is that I have to honor her. And when I honor her, she'll submit. Because honor is the seed. Everybody wants to talk about how to get a woman to submit. Make her submit, Reb. Preach the sermon, Reb. The reality is when a man sows the seed of honor, the fruit of the seed of honor is submission. So I don't have to break my wife. I don't have to beat my wife down. I don't have to belittle my wife. I don't have to demean my wife. I just got to lead my wife. And I can't lead my wife unless I honor my wife. And when I honor my wife will what? Submit to my leadership. Okay, praise the Lord. I hope that was clear. In 1 Peter 3, 6 and 7, it says, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, your wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. When there's friction between you and the wife, your potential is stagnant. Your prayers are hindered. But when you honor your wife, things work. The honor, again, is the seed. The submission is the fruit. If you want fruit, first comes the seed, then comes the fruit. Now, thirdly and finally, why is there this tension between the man and the woman? I think number one, we said, was the brokenness and the insecurity of the man, which we see depicted in Adam. And when he was broken, his first step was to break his woman. Secondly, was the nature of dominion in the woman. You know, the nature in the spirit of dominion in the woman will not allow her to rest in a state of being dominated. And when a woman tries to surrender herself to that, she knows something's not right. It doesn't even feel right because there's the spirit of dominion in her. And the man doesn't know how to process that spirit of dominion until he comes to a place where he dwells with her according to knowledge. And he understands that I have to honor this woman. And when I honor her, the wife will submit to my leadership, not even my dictatorship, but my leadership. And then letter C, the arrested development of the man leaves him incapable of securing the woman. Why is there this tension? The arrested development of the man. The creation of Adam is associated with dirt, meaning things external. When God created Adam, he created him from the dust of the earth, things external. The creation of Eve is associated with Adam's rib, things internal to Adam. Another major factor in the tension between men and women is the basic hormonal differences, I suppose I could say. The basic hormonal differences, the difference in the nature of the woman versus the man, the difference between masculinity and femininity. The dominant male hormone is what? Testosterone, which makes the man competitive and aggressive. Now, not to chase a rabbit, but I think testosterone is being depleted in men today for some reason, because men are seeming to be a little, well, let me leave that alone. The dominant male hormone is testosterone, which makes the man competitive and aggressive. It's what makes the man say, I'm the man, makes the man want to compete. It's what makes the man want to stand up to another man, you know, prove that I'm as much man or more man than you. It's the testosterone. It's the thing that makes a man want to put on a suit and a helmet and tight pants and slam into one another. You know, it's the testosterone. It's the aggressiveness of the testosterone in a man. The dominant female hormone is estrogen, which creates a what? A loving and an empathetic nature, more emotionally sensitive. One is external and aggressive. The other is internal and emotional and loving. Now, the crisis occurs. Listen to this very carefully. The crisis between the two occurs when society conditions each to surrender to roles that are counterproductive. Society teaches the man based on his hormonal impulse that sex is the epitome of manhood. That's what we learn in the barbershop. That's what we learn in the backyard. That's what we learn. Sex is the epitome of manhood. That testosterone, it has to express itself. And society teaches the man that your sexuality is the greatest expression of your manhood. Now, the same society teaches the woman, based on her hormonal impulses, that she is nothing if she does not have a man to love her and affirm her. Now, society teaches the man, have as much sex as you can, avoid commitment by all costs. And then the same society takes the woman and teaches her, you're nothing if you do not have a man, a husband to love and to affirm you. Now, the problem is that society has conditioned the woman to chase the man. Thank you, Kayla. And the same society has conditioned the man to run from the woman. So the woman is chasing the man and the man is running from the woman. The problem with this dysfunctional dynamic is that the man only hurts himself when he breaks his woman. He doesn't realize it. It's not until the man takes a pause and really has a God moment that he comes into his self-awareness, that he wakes up and realizes all of the lies that society has poured into him and how these lies have caused him to break his girlfriends, his wife, his mother, his daughters. And then he pauses and he stops and he becomes in God. He becomes the man that he needs to empower his woman. And he stops participating in this dysfunctional dynamic. He stops breaking his own rib. Listen to this very carefully, and I'm just about done. A broken rib cannot be, when we use the term rib, we're talking about the wife. God made Eve from Adam's rib. A broken rib cannot be aided by an external cast to heal it. In other words, I break my arm, you can put it in a cast and it'll set it and it'll heal it. Break my leg, put it in a cast, it'll set it and it'll heal. It'll mend. But there's no external cast for a broken rib. The rib has to rely, the rib meaning the broken woman, has to rely on its innate healing properties to heal itself. If I break my rib, I have to trust the healing properties that God has put in my body to bring healing to that broken rib. So it is with a woman. There's no healing for a broken woman outside of herself and God. When you're constantly looking to the same people that broke you to heal you, you are insane, really, because the person that broke you is not the one to heal you. There's no cast to set a broken rib in. Watch this, and I'm done. The broken rib has to continue to function, hurt, and heal all at the same time. The broken rib has to continue to function, hurt while it's functioning, and heal all at the same time. The woman who has been broken by a man cannot expect the men that broke her to heal her. Your healing comes from within and not from without. Broken women too often tend to work on everything but themselves. You're working on your relationship. You're working on this. You're working on your weight. You're working on everything but yourself. When the reality is that your healing is in yourself and with your God. So that's just a biblical perspective. I hope that made sense to you all, man. You know, just understanding the tension between men and women.
Thank you for listening today. If you would like more information or for other resources, please visit us on the web at rcblakes.com.